Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, a nightcap before going to bed is well known in order to help someone to get to sleep. Most of you do it, don't you? Admit it, time and again. Indeed, the word nightcap comes from the original 19th century meaning, which was a sleeping hat put on directly before bed to keep a person warm on cold nights. There you go. However, researchers in the US have figured out the impact of having a consecutive number of nightcaps has on your sleep. For more on this, I'm joined on the line by body clock expert Professor Annie Curtis from the RCSI. Annie, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Cormac.
So is it true that a nightcap is helpful or no?
So it's a funny one, right? As all these things always are. Because lots of people do it. And the reason they do it is that it increases your sleep onset. So alcohol, before you go to bed, allows you to go to sleep quicker. And that's one of the reasons why many people do it. The only problem is it's been shown that nightcaps are associated with fatigue, decreased working memory, cognitive performance the next day. And I'm kind of thinking that's probably a feed-forward effect, that if people are kind of feeling like that the next day, they might think, oh, do you know what? I need to make sure I have a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. I'll have another nightcap. So I think that might be part of it. Lots of people do it. You know, we have data from the US, 20% of adults use a nightcap as a sleep aid, 30% if you have insomnia. So what this study did was really try to understand, well, what is a nightcap doing to people's sleep? There's been lots of studies done on this, and mainly in previous studies they were just looking at the effect of, say, one drink and one night's sleep.
Yeah.
Whereas in this study they looked at the effect of consecutive nights of nightcapping, let's call it that.
So this is having a drink a couple of nights in a row, isn't that it? Did the impact change then?
So what they found is it was a really well done study in that they had a good number of both males and females, kind of different ages, and they did a thing called polysomnography, PSG, to really understand, you know, exactly what was happening, to just not just kind of saying did somebody sleep well or not, but really look at kind of the stages of your sleep. So the thing about sleep is it's divided into different stages. Okay, some people may have heard of non-REM and REM sleep. And the way I sort of remember things is if you think of your brain like a big warehouse, okay, non-REM sleep is sort of a foreman putting all the memories of the day into the filing cabinets. Okay, that's what non-REM sleep does. Okay. We tend to have more non-REM sleep at the start of our sleep cycle. Okay, so, you know, say you go to bed at like 10 or 11, you tend to have more cycles of non-REM from until about maybe, say, 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, REM sleep is a different thing, okay? And that's rapid eye movement, and people might know about that from the band and all of that. And the way I think about it is, if non-REM is about storing memories, REM is about somebody coming into that warehouse, taking out all those files, looking at all those memories and sort of making sense of them and sort of, you know, making insights and connections between all of them. REM sleep is really the creative part of our sleep. It's kind of, I think about it like, the reason we put a man on the moon and the reason we have pyramids is because of REM sleep.
Okay.
You know, it's that real
its importance. It's really important. Okay, so is this study then saying that that's the part that's getting disrupted if we have our nightcap?
So with the nightcap, what they showed was there was actually an increase in the non-REM, okay, the foreman part, putting away the memories, right? But there was a decrease in the REM. Okay, and that's problematic because REM, not only is it all about creativity and all of that, but it's really important for your memory and emotional regulation, right?
Okay.
So if you think, like I often think about, if you don't have enough REM sleep, you sort of act like a toddler, you know, you're emotionally not very attuned to what's going on. You can be a little bit dysfunctional. You know, you can sort of lash out at people, you know, that sort of thing. So that's why REM is really important. So what they showed was a decrease in the REM if you had like continual nightcaps.
And does it matter what time you have your nightcap, or is it any alcohol consumption sort of in the 24 hours or the 12 hours of your day is going to cause this problem?
That's a good question, Sarah. And that's how I sometimes get around, you know, if I do want to have a drink, right? Because I find, because I don't know about yourselves, but I find that if I do have a couple of nightcaps, I tend to wake up at about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, right? And can't get back to sleep. And that's because the REM stage happens in the second half of your sleep. And the fact that you're reducing the amount of REM, you're more likely to wake up and stay up. And I suppose I didn't have this issue of waking up at 3 or 4 a.m. until I sort of hit maybe about 40. Mm. So I do call this the curse of the middle age. Mm-hmm. So I think with nightcaps...
Go on.
Yeah.
Probably both. So I think with nightcaps, yeah, like the effect on sleep is very pronounced when you have those nightcaps just before you go to sleep because you haven't metabolized the alcohol. So one way to get around it is maybe have a lunch cap instead of a night cap.
And maybe a better way is a morning cap.
There we go. We've been told by the experts now.
No one questioned me. Can I ask you this before we let you go, Annie? An awful lot of people are looking at increasing their sleep with melatonin. Now, I'm sure you've come across this. Are there any concerns with this at all?
So I suppose, first of all, Cormac, melatonin, what is it, right? It's a hormone. So hormone is something that kind of signals to many different tissues around the body, okay? People think melatonin is a hormone that induces sleep, but melatonin actually is a hormone that signals to the body that you're in darkness. So you only produce melatonin actually when you go into low-level light, okay? So, and it sort of signals the body that it's time for sleep. It doesn't necessarily induce sleep, okay? Now, the thing about melatonin, though, is the melatonin that's in supplements is at really high concentrations. And melatonin doesn't just signal sleep, signal darkness. Melatonin does lots of other things in the body. So it has a real antioxidant effect. It can affect the immune system. It actually affects bone growth. So that's one of the reasons why. Do you know sometimes if you have a youngster and they come down the next morning and you think, oh my God, you're after, you know, it's because melatonin, you're after growth because melatonin actually stimulates bone growth.
Okay.
It also has an effect on our sex organs as well. So personally, I would not be for taking melatonin as a supplement to go. Just exactly, Cormac. Okay. The easiest way to increase your melatonin is to put down your phone and turn down the lights.
There you go. I am a sleep expert myself. Put your alcohol in the cornflakes and darken your room. I have it.
Yeah.
I have it. There I am. From Professor Cormac Horra to Professor Annie Curtis, body clock expert at the RCSI. Thank you very much indeed.